Thank you. So today I'm going to give a very pedagogical version of a field that's emerging. I'm going to talk about how quantum theory meets causality, but more specifically what quantum information theory meets causality. When I say quantum information theory, I mean finite dimensional systems with the kind of operational approach that quantum information theory brings in. So what do we learn from quantum information theory? We learn that whenever we are doing some calculation, we do it via circuits. So essentially, you can break down any quantum operation you have into some preparation and then some complicated evolution. Or you can think of this as some combination of gates followed by some measurement. More generally, you can think of your system being coupled with some open system, and therefore then your evolution in quantum mechanics, instead of with closed systems, you have unitaries. But more generally, you have these completely positive trace preserving maps if you have your system coupled with an ancilla. So when we do such calculations, what's implicit in these pictures is that there's a notion of background time when we're talking about quantum circuits. And therefore, the preparation happens before these evolution operations we do, which happens before whatever measurement we perform in the end. Imagine this being done in some laboratory or some quantum optics lab in IQC. Okay. And then one of the motivations for this field is to exactly move away from this picture of having this background time and to ask the question, what do we want, in what ways can we generalize quantum theory? The motivation being to generalize it in terms of reaching the holy grail of physics, which is quantum gravity. But first, we need to take baby steps to get there. And the baby steps we need to take is like notice what quantum theory offers us. Quantum theory offers us a probabilistic picture. Albeit with the background time, so with a definite causal structure in the background. So this is causal structure. But we know from relativity that we can have non-definite causal structures. So we have dynamic causal structures in GR, where we have to first fix the solution on a Cauchy hypersurface before we can talk about the order of events between two spacetime regions. But we don't have a probabilistic nature there. And then the outcomes are once you fix this solution, deterministic. Okay, so the motivation here is to ask the question if we can have quantum operations such that it actually affects the order of events in its future. And to do that, we need to figure out a formalism to talk about these things. Because here, the notion of time is implicit in these arrows, in these circuits. And so when we talk about two events that are independent or could be, so I'm just drawing the Minkowski space-time thing. So if you have two events here, the way you would describe them, so quantum theory is not relativistic, but this is just a heuristic argument here. So if you have space-like separated events, the way you represent them is to represent them with two different Hilbert spaces. On the other hand, if you have some unitary channel or some CPTP map relating to space-time events. So don't take the space leg and time leg very seriously here. But in terms of motivation, then you have a map. So you can define the CPTP map as a map from one Hilbert space to another. And now the question is, how can we talk about these two different kind of representations under the same, in a similar way, so that we can talk about states and channels. Under the same formalism or same picture. So there's a lot of research going on in this area, and I'll just mention a few of them.
It's broken.
Yeah, we take
that. It is?
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is not right. This one is not right. Okay, awesome. Thank you. So where was I? Yeah, so there's a lot of literature in which people are studying these kind of things, and it's actually, we are only going to scratch the surface of this today, but I just want to talk about one tool that is used often in many of these approaches, and maybe show you how that's important in this literature. And then if you have more questions about this area, feel free to talk to me or other people in the foundation community at PI. So there's a lot of literature on this. It started around 2005 with the causal light framework. So I'm just going to boggle you with names before I actually give you some concrete thing to hold on to. This is when the quantum combs came in. So these are all different approaches, and then we'll find something that's common to many of them, not all of them, and talk about that. So this is when the process matrix thing came in. This would be called, I guess, causal inference. So all of these approaches are trying to talk about, in some sense, a causally neutral way of talking about dynamics and states and channels under the same picture. But if you want to read more about this, there is one reference, which is a really good review that points you to all these approaches with explanation. This is by Bruckner in 2014 in Nature. And this really is a really good starting point to understand some of the things being done in this area. Okay, this works. Thank God. Okay. So what is central to many of these approaches listed above? And the idea is to talk about something that has been known in quantum information theory for a long time, which is called the Choi-Jamiel-Losky isomorphism. And what this does is essentially, there are many representations to talk about CPTP maps, which we mentioned earlier, which are the most general way of talking about evolution for a system, even if it's an open system. So there are many representations to talk about CPTP maps, one being cross operators, which you might have heard of already. And then there's also the Stein-Spring representation But then there's also the CJ isomorphism. And essentially what it does is it gives you a way of writing down a channel as a state and vice versa. And we will just go through that very quickly before I wrap up. So let us take a CPTP map, which is some map that takes you from one Hilbert space to another. Now the idea is that you want this to be mapped into, so this is the CJ isomorphism will be represented by the letter J. So you can take a map, and essentially what this does is it takes a CPTP map into the tensor product version of this, so into what you might think of as a state. And the way to do this is simply prescribed by taking your map, and then multiplying it with a Bell state. You can think of it as a Bell state or a entangled basis kind of picture, really. So this is just your Bell state here. The Bell state belongs to the Hilbert space of X. And this is a way, essentially what you're doing diagrammatically is you have this map, which takes an object from Hilbert space of X to Y. And what you're doing is you are operating that on a maximally a Bell state for a two-dimensional system, but an entangled state more generally. And now what you have is effectively this object, which belongs to this space. And then if you want to get back, if you want to do the opposite, if you want to go from the channel to the state, what you need to do is you whatever state you had to operate on. So let's say you wanted to feed a state psi into. What you can do is you can write down of this state as, is this visible? Let's see. Okay, you have into and you trace out X onto your so this is just figuring out both sides of the version, and I was going to do a quick example where you can think of your E to be for a two-dimensional system, the Pauli X gate, and then your state to be simply some state. And then just doing the calculation there just to see how it works is very simple, because to find this, all you need to do is on 0, 0, 1, 1. So I've done the summation already. And then all you get is 0, 1, 1, 0. So this is your state version of the channel. And essentially, what you want to see is it maps the basis to what the action of the channel would be. So it has all the state basically has all the information your channel transformations are related to. So this is a tool that's common in, I can't read that. Okay, thank you. So this is a tool that's used in many of the approaches, not all of them. But now you basically generalize this between, so if you had this isomorphism between states and channels, you can start talking about a way of relating two different laboratories, which have one input, one output system. And you want to talk about some way of defining some order of events between A and B. Could be A signals to B or B signals to A in whichever way. And what you do is you use a generalized way of talking about the Choi-Jamielski isomorphism on these four Hilbert spaces. Two of these are inputs and two of these are outputs. So this is one way of going about this. Yeah, I think that's all. There's a lot to talk about, but essentially this is one of the tricks that's very common, and I wish I had seen it at an earlier point and understood it properly. So that's why I'm sharing this, and thank you. So for a definite causal structure, you essentially mean that, let's say, let's go back to this picture. All that means is we know that the preparation happens before the evolution, before the measurement, and that nothing you do at the level of preparation can change this order. But now what we're saying is that, can you actually do certain preparations such that the circuit that gets executed is different? So it's conditional to, so you're somehow using the concept of quantum superposition at the level of circuits, as opposed to at the level of the states being described. So you're extending that to to the causal relations.
Are there any other questions? Okay, so that's my pitch, I guess.